You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
This morning we're going to be talking about practicing the presence of God. But as I look out here today, the last time that I taught this group, the Pacesetters, yeah, that's what we are, so many times people just start to say Pacesetters and end up saying, are you going to Pacemakers tomorrow? You know, and that's the last time I taught, it was out in the parking lot. And I don't know if I remember the day well, because it was freezing and the wind was blowing and I was just had a death grip on my notes. And then it was so weird to look out and just see cars. You know, there's no people. And then it started drizzling. And the next thing I knew, all these windshield wipers are going. And for a minute there, I thought, I'm in the middle of a Cars movie, one of the kids' movies. And so it is so good to see people and that we're in, that I can see, even though I can't see all of you, I can only see your eyes. At least I can see that you're live. And I mean, I didn't know who was there the last time. So this is good.
Should we honk?
Yeah, you can honk. You can. Yeah. All righty. So we're going to be talking about practicing the presence of God. And maybe that word practice is not one of your favorite words. I know the word practice brings back to my mind practicing the piano. And maybe you have ideas too of what you, as a kid, you grew up having to practice something. And you guys, I mean, I know from Don how many hours you spend practicing that golf swing, you know, trying to get that perfected. So maybe practice isn't one of your favorite words. So there's another way of saying this, practicing the presence of God, is staying in, how do we stay in touch with Jesus? Just staying in touch with Jesus. So maybe I'll be using those interchangeably. And you think, well, what does this look like? How is this even possible to stay in touch with God, with the lives that we live? So I want to ask you a question. When you woke up this morning, how long was it before you had a conscious thought about God? Was it when you first sat up in bed? When you had your first cup of coffee? When you were driving over here? Maybe it was when Kathy prayed. Maybe some of you, there's two groups of people in this cafe here. There's some of you that woke up this morning with, good morning, Lord. And so you made some contact with Jesus. Then the other half of you, and this doesn't count, the other half of us say, good Lord, it's morning, you know. So I won't have a raise of hands as to who's who, but so if you woke up with that good Lord, it's morning, that doesn't count as an encounter with God. It's been calculated that if we thought about God even 15 minutes a day, we'd still only be thinking about him 4 days out of an entire year. Isn't that amazing? When I saw that statistic, it was just like, what? Sadly, this is an indictment of many of us that professed that we love Jesus. So this morning we want to see why it's so difficult to stay in touch, but yet how beneficial it is to us to stay in touch. Okay, since we're a smaller group, maybe we can have just a little interaction here. Think about how you stay in touch with your family and friends. Just holler out, how do you stay in touch?
Email.
Text. Calling. Lunches, actual face-to-face time, not just FaceTime on the phone, but actual face-to-face time. Is there anybody that still writes letters? Look at that. That's, see, It is a lost art. And why? Why do we keep in touch with these people? Why are we texting people and emailing people and FaceTiming and calling? Why are we doing that? Stay up to date. We care. We want to let them know that we care about them. Maybe you just need some information. Maybe you have some advice, or this person needs some advice or counsel from you, or whether you're giving advice, whether they wanted it or not. Sometimes we do that too. We communicate because we want to build love relationships with people. We want to communicate that love. Last summer, Don's brother, who lives up in Youngstown and who's also a retired dentist, there's two of them, he came down here to Columbus to spend some time with his granddaughter, and we invited him to stay at our house. Now, wouldn't it have been really rude of us if we invited Dale to come stay with us and then we just ignored him and went about our business and did all the things that, you know, we already had planned? And yet, that's exactly what we do with Jesus. When we realized our need for God's forgiveness, we invited Jesus to come in and make our heart his home. And then we can go virtually through our whole day just ignoring him. And this is the Jesus that forgave every single one of our sins, past, present, and future. And this is the Jesus who died on the cross for us. And this is the Jesus who loves us unconditionally. And this is the Jesus that said he would never leave and forsake us. And yet we ignore him during the day. Okay, why then is it so difficult to stay in touch? What are some reasons that you can think of what other people, why they don't, you know? Why is it so difficult to stay in touch? You can't see him.
Busy.
Capital B, capital U. Yes, busyness. Procrastination. I'll talk to him later. Yeah. You get the, sometimes it's just, maybe it's fatigue. We're just too tired with all the work we've done. Sometimes it's pride. I can figure this out myself. Why do I need to talk to Jesus? And most of us don't know that it's even possible. Didn't even know there was such a thing as staying in touch with Jesus. I always thought that I was at the mercy of my thoughts. That just whatever came in, I had to deal with it. But I had this breakthrough moment when I learned that I could actually choose what to think about. And then I found out how mentally lazy I was. Have you ever tried to keep your thoughts focused on God only to drift into what we call grasshopper thoughts? Just jumping from one thought to the next thought to the next thought. Got to get the car gas, got to write that bill, got to make the grocery list, got to send a text, got to call my sister-in-law, and on and on and on it goes. And then we drift from grasshopper thoughts into obsessive thoughts, getting stuck on one pattern of thoughts that just keep repeating over and over and over again. And most of the times they're the what ifs. What if? And I don't know if you've had this thought yet or not, but you know, what if I get to the point I can't drive anymore? What if, you know, I start all these what ifs as we get older and older, or the if onlys. Oh, there's a bazillions of those that can go through your head. If only I hadn't said that. If only I hadn't done that. If only, if only, if only. Martin Luther is supposed to have said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest. We can't keep the thoughts from coming in, but we can keep them from, we can keep from obsessing on them and having them just control our thought life. Many years ago, probably, was it back in the 80s when Oswald Sanders came here? Was that how long ago that was? And I remember him saying this when he was teaching here. And it's just stuck with me. He said that we are as close to God as we choose to be. We are as close to God as we choose to be. So that we can choose to stay in touch with Jesus throughout the day by talking to him about anything and everything. So as I said, this is called practicing his presence, which simply means developing the habit of staying in touch with Jesus throughout the day. Practicing the presence is the title of this little book. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God. You can tell I've had it a long time because I only paid $2.95 for it. So that's an older, and it is a little yellow. This was written by Brother Lawrence, who was a monk that lived back in the 1600s. And he lived in a monastery, and the whole premise is how he learned to stay in touch with God, whether he was scrubbing pots and pans, or whether he was on his knees scrubbing the floor, or on his knees in the chapel praying. I wanted to just give you a flavor of what he had to say in a couple points here. He says, all we have to do is recognize God as being intimately present within us. Then we may speak directly to him every time we need to ask for help and to know in his will in moments of uncertainty and to do whatever he wants us to do in a way that pleases him. We should offer our work to him before we begin and then thank him afterwards for the privilege of having done them for his sake. This continuous conversation would also include praising and loving God incessantly for his infinite goodness and perfection. He said that our sanctification does not depend as much on changing our activities as it does on doing them for God rather than for ourselves. Never tire of doing even the smallest things for him, because he isn't impressed so much with the dimensions of our work as with the love with which it is done. And then one more. God won't allow a soul that is searching for him to be comforted anywhere other than with him. So it makes sense to sacrifice ourselves for some time in his presence. And those are just a minutia of the nuggets that are in that book. So here's a modern day illustration that helped me understand this concept of practicing the presence. Just think of the astronauts and mission control. The relationship that the astronauts have with mission control. You've all probably seen Apollo 13 and Tom Hanks at some point. While they were out in space going around their assigned duties, what they were to do, they stayed in constant touch with mission control. And why did they do that? Because mission control knew things the astronauts had no way of otherwise knowing. They trusted that whatever mission control told them to do was in their best interest, even if it sounded crazy, especially when the astronauts said those famous words, "Houston, we have a problem." Mission control was their lifeline, and those minutes during their return to Earth, when they were totally out of touch, everyone held their breath because it wasn't normal to be out of touch. The norm was to be in touch, in constant touch. Houston wanted the very best for each astronaut and for their mission. You might say that they had a love relationship with one another. And this is just an earthly illustration that describes the relationship that Jesus had with his Father while he was here on earth. John 5:19 says that Jesus never did anything on his own. He was in constant touch with his Father. John 5:19 says, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does." The word abiding is another word that describes the astronaut's relationship with Houston and Jesus' relationship with his Father. Abiding, there's another word that sometimes in the NIV, I think it's in the NIV, that uses the word remain, stay put. And so just like the astronauts remained in Mission Control's words, Jesus remained in his Father's words, so we too, we can abide, we can remain and stay in touch with Jesus through God's words that we have in our Bibles. And that's why Bible reading is so, so, so important, because that's the way God stays in touch with us and we can stay in touch with him. And then Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, pray continually. And that's another way that we stay in touch that with Jesus, is just talking to him. That's when we're saying staying in touch with Jesus, a lot of it is, that's what prayer is called, is just talking to Jesus. So let's talk about why would we want to do this? Let's talk some of the benefits. And the biggest benefit, the greatest benefit, is because our love relationship with him deepens as we get to know him. And you have to, that's the only way you get to know someone, is to spend time with them. We know that from our human relationships. Deepening our love relationship and getting to know Jesus, this is our greatest privilege, and it's what we were created for. Listen to what Jeremiah says. He says, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands," and here's the key thing, "and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight." And as we practice his presence, we can become more familiar with that still small voice. We more easily recognize those promptings when you just get this sense that I should pick up the phone and call a neighbor. Believe me, when I have an idea to call somebody, that is a prompting from Jesus, because I am not a phone person. I don't like to talk on the phone that well. And so I know if I get the thought, call so-and-so, I better do it, because that is coming from Jesus. So he prompts us to do things, but then he also prompts us in ways when he puts a check on things, that we're going in one direction and you just get this sense, no, I better not, that's probably not a good idea. Or you're all really angry about something and you want to call somebody and let them know how angry you are, and then you get a check. That's not the way to handle this. And the more time we spend with Jesus, the more sensitized we are to those kind of things. Psalm 16:11 says, here's another benefit, "You fill me with joy in your presence." You want more joy in your life? Spend more time with Jesus. Psalm 89:15, "Blessed are those who walk in the light of your presence." blessed. And blessed just means your life will be enriched the more time that you spend with Jesus. Now, this kind of knowing God is not the same as learning knowledge about God. It's really important that we learn doctrine, that we learn facts, that we learn like the attributes of God, that we learn the facts and what happened at the cross, that we learn how Jesus discipled. I mean, all these things are so important to learn. But when learning these things is basically a transfer of information. And this isn't what we're talking about here. Facts and concepts we learn don't necessarily have an effect on us, but relational, experiential knowledge is the result of falling in love with Jesus. Maybe the Spirit is saying to you today, like what Jesus asked this question to Philip. He said, "Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me?" That is a very, very insightful question that Jesus may be asking you this morning. Moses asked God, he says, "Teach me your ways." Why? So that I may know you. And Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, said, "I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better." Now, some of you, I have seen this example, that illustration I'm going to do right now, but I usually use a peach. And Kroger's didn't have any peaches. And so you're going to have to picture a peach. This is not the time for peaches in the stores. So just picture a peach. Pretend this is the peach. Okay, there you go. Now, give me some facts or characteristics about what that peach looks like. It's fuzzy. It's round. It's beautiful. It's got a beautiful color. It might even have a good aroma.
It can be hard or soft.
Okay. That's absolutely right. When you touch it, all those things are correct. Those are facts about that peach. But when do you know the peach? When you bite into it and the juice just runs down your face, then you know that peach. And that's why we read in Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Now, another huge benefit is found in Isaiah 26:3. And this says, "You, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you." This has become a life verse for me. I love this verse. Okay, look at that. Now, what's God's part? His part is to keep us in perfect peace. What's our part? All who trust and who keep our thoughts fixed on him. He promises to keep us in perfect peace. You know, once we have Jesus in our heart, we have peace because Jesus is our peace. Ephesians 2:4 tells us that Jesus is our peace. And John 14:27 tells us that Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." So we have that peace, and our job is to appropriate and thank Jesus for the peace that he has given us, instead of asking and begging and pleading, "I need your peace, I need your peace." So our part is to trust. God can only reveal how trustworthy he is when we trust him. Let me put it another way. If we don't trust him, he can't reveal how trustworthy he is. Is that making sense? Okay. So here's another illustration, and maybe some of you heard this one too. It's the trapeze bar. Now picture yourself hanging on a trapeze bar. I know this is a bad, for the senior citizens, this is a bad illustration, because probably half of you have arthritis in your hands anyway, and you just can't even hold on. But pretend you're in good physical health, okay, and you pretend you're 20 again, okay, and you're hanging on this trapeze bar, and you're, you know, you've never done that before, and you're just full of anxiety, even though there is a big net underneath you. And then, as you're hanging there, you just get more and more anxious, because all you can think about is all the what-ifs in your life. You know, what if this, and what if this, and what if this, and then the if only this, and you're just getting more and more anxious. And then to top it all off, somebody yells up to you, there's been an accident. And then you are literally at the end of your rope, which is right where God wants you to be. Because it's only when we have no more plans on how to fix things or are so exhausted do we let go and find him totally trustworthy. We have to let go before we know, before we experience the trustworthiness of God and his peace. So the first of our part is to trust, and the second part of that verse says that we keep our thoughts fixed on God, which is what this whole teaching is all about. But how, let's get a little more practical again. How do we do this? Here's another verse I absolutely love. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, which says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. What are we to do first thing in the morning? Proclaim God's love. Actually, the word proclaim means out loud. But however you do it, you know, it's to acknowledge the first thing in the morning. If you proclaim that out loud, that you proclaimed God's love, when we do that out loud, we're actually speaking into the spirit world and letting them know, this is where I stand. God and I are together on this day because he loves me. Because that's the first thing we want to proclaim, because this is a love relationship that we have. So you tell him that you're trusting that his love will be with you wherever you go, whatever you do, and whatever happens today. Start off your day that way. I love this quote from Amy Carmichael, a missionary. She said, if you don't have time for a big drink in the morning, you know, if you don't have time for a big drink in the morning, then take little sips during the day. And so the ideal is to start off the day by proclaiming God's love. And then what does it say we are to do at night? Proclaim your love in the morning, and what do we proclaim at night? His faithfulness. And so at night, you look back during your day, and you just see all the ways that God was faithful to you, how he met that need, how he, like he said, he gave you that prompting to call somebody, and it was the best conversation you've had with that person. And as you think back over your day, you become so much more aware of those God moments when you know there was no other explanation than that had to have been God. Then throughout the day, this verse doesn't have anything about in the middle of the day. This is actually the part of the day that's easiest to forget about staying in touch, because we're just out. Run, going here and going there, and we just have so many other important things to think about, and they are, many things are important. But whenever you don't have something specific that you need to focus on, you know, whatever that may be, or when you're not focusing on things that you like to do to relax, you know, if you're not watching a Netflix, if you're not reading, if you're not creating all these, there's so many creative people in here that I just am in awe of what they can do. Then when you have those moments like that, just keep turning your thoughts towards Jesus, and you can talk about anything and everything to him. Just find those, you know, you focus on what you need to do, and soon as that is finished, just turn your thoughts back to God. Thank you for helping me figure out how to do that. Thank you for getting that done, that we got that done. This takes a lifetime to do something, to become like this guy. Believe me, I am not there. I just know the good words to say where we should be, but it's something, it's a goal worth pursuing. So remember that words of trust and thankfulness are going to get you through the day. Trust in the morning, thankfulness at night. Now, one other thought here. Remember, when we get a prodding or just a knowing that we should, like we said, pick up the phone or call somebody, you can be absolutely sure that that's from the Spirit. The flesh never initiates things like that. The flesh is always trying to distract, disrupt, do its own thing for me, what's going to work out for me. So you know that whenever you have a thought like that, that is the God of the universe talking to you. And one has a plan for you. And our question for us is, are we going to follow through? Are we going to follow through on that? Are we going to listen to our flesh? So just know, the flesh never, our sin nature will never ever initiate anything good like that. It's always a battle between the flesh and the Spirit. All right, in conclusion, and you have that quote there from Watchman Nee, when we practice the presence of God, regardless of how many things crowd upon us, our spirit remains unmoved, the presence of God is unchanged, and our inner peace unruffled. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, it sounds like a pipe dream out there, but we can get little glimpses of it. And the more that we get a glimpse, the more we're going to want. So remember, as Oswald Sanders said, you're as close to God as you choose to be. So stay in touch. Thank you. Father God, we want to know you. We do want to get to know you better. We want that love relationship with you. And whether we're a feeling person or a heady person, you know how to meet us right where we're at. And so, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are going to be touching our hearts. You're going to be giving us opportunities to fall in love with Jesus even more and to take that love to others. And so we thank you for your work on our behalf, and may we just, in these days ahead, just fall more and more in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.